courage to change the things I can. Amen. Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance today. Newcomers, do we have anybody in their first 30 days of sobriety? We would just like to welcome you by first name. Feel free to unmute and make yourself known. Forward to the book, Alcoholics Anonymous says, we of Alcoholics Anonymous are more than 100 men and women who have shared or who have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. To show other alcoholics precisely how we have recovered is the main purpose of this book. For them, we hope these pages will prove so convincing that no further authentication will be necessary. We think this account of our experiences will help everyone to better understand the alcoholic. Many do not comprehend that the alcoholic is a very sick person. And besides, we're sure our way of living has its advantages for all. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism by taking AA's simple actions. So, hey, you're in luck. Tonight is a workshop. We're just playing it all by ear tonight. Spiritual principles for a lifetime. So our unfortunately, Chris S., it sounds like he is in need of prayer and consideration. He's unable to attend this evening. So what I would propose to do, I'm going to read a couple of things that have leapt into my mind. And then I'm just going to ask for hands. Let's just do this out of inspiration. And if there's no hands, I don't have a problem calling on people. I don't have a problem talking, but I'm going to try to shut up because I'm a little rattled. So one of the things that always comes to my mind with regard to durable spiritual principles for a lifetime is the, as we go through the day and sort of the 11th step promises, so-called. So it starts on 87, bottom of 87. And this is the action of the 11th step throughout the day. As we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful. We ask for the right thought or action. We constantly remind ourselves we are no longer running the show. Humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, thy will be done. And then here's what that looks like. Here's the promises. We are then in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. We become more efficient. We do not tire so easily, for we're not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. It works. It really does. We alcoholics are undisciplined, so we let God discipline us in the simple way we've just outlined. But that is not all. There is action and more action. So I'm going to offer that and just kind of open the floor. Feel free to jump in and read a little something, share a little something. The topic is spiritual principles for a lifetime or today.
I'll jump in. My name is Glenn Ahava, and I am alcoholic.
Glenn.
And I'm thinking back to more about alcoholism. Where Bill is saying, the moment I made my mind up to go through with the process, I had the curious feeling that my alcoholic condition was relieved. And he follows up quite quickly by saying, quite as important was the discovery that spiritual principles would solve all my problems. And when I got here, I didn't believe that spiritual principles would solve any of my problems. I believed you folks were looking to get something from me. I didn't think any of my problems were solvable. And it was amazing how quickly the alcoholic problem got solved. That isn't to say I didn't have urges for months and even years afterward, but the idea that my life was unmanageable when I got here, it still is unmanageable when I'm running it, but the idea that when I applied the principles of this program to my life problems, that unmanageability shrank to a great degree. And to this day, years later, when I apply those problems, those principles that I learned in the 12 steps and from you people to the problems of my life today, they really are, for the most part, insignificant. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Glenn. Once again, I'm looking for hands. Come on, Courtney.
Hi, I'm Courtney, I'm alcoholic. You know, what a great topic. I was talking with a friend today and I said, you know, I'm feeling really crotchety and cantankerous today. I'm sober, but I'm still sitting in myself. And it had to do with something that happened at work. Well, one is I'm also coming off the flu and I just don't like when I'm not 100% on my game. I need to show up. I need to show up doing everything the right way. I cannot fail. I cannot fall. And I just don't like to feel like this, you know, I just don't. But then I got some news today that a position that is supposed to grow my team has been put on hold. And it rattled my cage. I started a future trip. I said, well, this means the end of what we're doing. This is not good. This doesn't look good for me. This doesn't look good for what we're doing. I'm the one that caused this. What else can I do to make sure that this is going to actually work out? Like all this other stuff. And really, you know, and she said, you know, does it affect your workload? And have you tried taking a nap? And I'd actually just taken a mini nap this afternoon, just because I needed to take a break. And I said, I feel like it directly affects my ego and my security. And that is what, you know, and I said, it goes back to those spiritual principles that when I'm running the show, when I'm running on self-will, when I'm rolling on, you know, if this is what's going to help me feel secure and that my life will be manageable, if all these things are met, then I've got to do a reset on everything. Because coming into here, my life was on flames and I was told that I am, you know, I've got to find that, you know, I've got to stop relying on a lower power. I've got to develop that relationship with a higher power that has a better plan in store for me. And it wasn't easy. It still, even now with, you know, a few months sobriety, it still isn't easy. This is a daily thing I have to maintain. And I just, you know, I'm so grateful that I can have conversations like this with friends that are in the fellowship that have a spiritual program of action that, you know, just, you know, even she reminded me, she was like, you know, that about the director, you know, about God being the director and that, you know, am I willing to turn my life and my will over to a power greater than myself? Because there have been many times in my life when I was too afraid to do that. And the outcome was better than I had imagined when I let go of the wheel. So right now, all I'm thinking about with this scenario at work is number one is I am not that great. I didn't cause any of this and I can't fix it. All my job is to do is to show up, you know, and do my job and then just, you know, end the day and help, you know, do whatever it is that I was expected of me. And I just, you know, I'm not that important. And whether this is in, you know, going to be the job of my lifetime or not, I mean, there's a path and I'm just going to go along for the ride. So, I'm really grateful that I can take what I learned in these rooms and apply it to my life. So anyway, thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Courtney. I'm glad you're feeling better. Who's next? Come on in, Liz.
Hi, everybody. My name is Liz. I'm an alcoholic. Are you clear to hear me now?
Crystal clear.
Okay, good. I had to switch to my phone and it's just a little complication for me, this technology. I love the last couple of paragraphs of step 11. And the one that still always resonates to me, it's two simple lines. It says, we alcoholics are undisciplined. So that discipline for me is a spiritual principle. I mean, there's so many spiritual principles. But if I don't have, and it says, then it proceeds to tell me how to get the discipline. So I'm going to let God discipline me. So when I have found, my experience is that I can be disciplined. This is the self-seeking, right? If it's something that I'm interested in, say, that, I don't know, pair of boots or whatever, I'll be sure to hit every store I could possibly, I know that carries that. And I will make sure I Google every whatever, right? So I have discipline to do certain things. But what we're talking about here, what come to me when reading this is about, this is emotional sobriety. I need spiritual principles to achieve that, right? So I my and the discipline, I'm undisciplined sometimes with my thinking. I'm undisciplined in like certain relationships if they're not going, the way I think they should be, right? I could also be undisciplined with my relationship with God, but this 11th step is such a game changer. I have managed somehow with the willingness, but also God has allowed me to have the discipline to devote the morning on awakening and then when you retire at night. I don't nail it 100%. I'm not even judging what it looks like, but I have been able to to apply discipline to this here, developing conscious contact. It's just one of the biggest tools. We have lots of tools to use, right, to achieve emotional sobriety and stay sober. But this prayer and meditation are telling me right here exactly what it's going to do. It's going to improve conscious contact. So I can be a little more aware of God. And I could focus on what he'd rather me do than my little plans and designs. It's just amazing the way this all kind of weaves in together. But spiritual principles, yeah, there's so many of them. A big one that I have to apply discipline to is forgiveness, right? That sometimes I don't want to be as forgiving as God wants me to be. And I want to live on a spiritual path. I want to get better. I want to stay better. The furthest thing I want to be is from a drink. So I'll keep coming back and practicing. The discipline that I get with this is really, it's a piece of cake. This is actually the easier, softer way. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Liz.
I'm an alcoholic. My name is Amy.
Hi, Amy.
Interesting thing about the word discipline. I have always hated the word because I was told throughout so much of my life that I had no self-discipline. And I finally looked it up. And discipulus is a Latin noun meaning a learner, a student, a pupil, or a follower. And it's related to disciplina, which refers specifically to someone who is learning from a master or a teacher. So that turns this thing about daily disciplines on its ear. This isn't about me being punished because I'm bad and I have to prove my worthiness by working really hard and earning God's love and earning your approval. This is about me being taught something. As I walk out these practices. So these disciplines are to help me learn something. They're to give me access to power greater than my own, which is going to transform me. I would not say that I have the courage or the commitment to walk out spiritual principles every single day of my life. That doesn't even sound fun to me. And I've certainly been in lots of meetings where people have the steps on the wall and they have a one-word principle that they think underlies each one of those steps. And I have to say, number one, that's not in the big book. And number two, the implication is that if I could just have integrity, I wouldn't have to learn honesty in steps 4 and 5. If I could just be forgiving, I wouldn't have to practice steps 8 and 9. And if I could have done any of those things, I wouldn't have ended up here. So I am powerless to lead a principled life unless I walk out these suggestions, these steps, one day at a time. And for me, it really lands on 10, 11, and 12, not as maintenance steps, but as a place where I can grow in effectiveness and understanding, effectiveness in the way that I interact with other people, effectiveness in the way that I process reality, and understanding in that I keep coming to the place where I realize that we are all children of one Father, that I am actually part of a brotherhood of man, and that how I do things is just as important as the things that I do. And if I'm not doing them where love and tolerance is my code, I'm not growing in effectiveness and understanding. I do step 10 every single day, usually more than once a day, because I'm hot-headed and I think I'm always the smartest person in the room. And inventory gets me out of that emotional reactivity and turns me back in the right direction. So away from you as the problem, away from myself as the solution, and back to God as the only place to go. Not for me, not for you, for all of us, for everything. And I walk out those three sets of directions on step 11 every day, a nightly review that really tells me how well I practice step 10 during the course of the day. And upon awakening, that puts my feet on firm ground before I even start exposing the world to me, because I wake up with a whole lot of me on me every single day. I've got a script on how reality should be unfolding, and I'm certain that my script is the superior one to all of yours. And then that last set of directions, which is so important, because it's not getting on my knees in the morning or getting on my knees at night. It's walking around in the posture of being on my knees before power and love all day long, every day. I don't have that in me. I can't even tell you I want to be like that all the time. So if I don't pause, which is a great acronym for practice awareness until spirit emerges, which is kind of queer and I don't know, maybe too new agey, but it's a good thing. Pausing is a good thing because I always think everything is urgent, and urgency is a lie. If it's urgent, it's my will. When I'm able to wait for something to unfold, to keep my mouth shut, to be still, that's usually God's will for me. And I love that step 11 doesn't just warn about the dangers of fear and worry, but it's got excitement in there on that list, because I can get just as disconnected from God when I'm excited as anything else. You know, my heart starts racing. Maybe I'm shallow breathing. I'm about to buy something I can ill afford, and I'm off to the races. I'm not thinking about God. I'm thinking about catching a buzz off doing something that's a little bit illicit. And then there's step 12. I'm selfish to the core. I don't want you calling me all the time. I want you to find somebody else to talk to. But every time I answer the phone, I'm so grateful that you've interrupted me thinking about me and me thinking about how I feel and me thinking about what's going to happen next. It's counterintuitive. I want to believe that if I think about myself and I practice good boundaries and if I take care of myself and I develop good self-care skills, that all will be well. The opposite is true. The more I think about me, the more I hate the world, the more certain I am that I've gotten a raw deal, that I'm the most unlucky person there is. So when you call me, I get to hear myself affirm what I truly believe. I get out of myself completely. I get a new perspective. I get a reality check. I listened to a 10th step yesterday from somebody who went on a sexy weekend up to Quebec City, and her husband had roses delivered, and they only delivered 11. And the entire weekend was ruined. And at first I thought, I can't even be friends with this person anymore. But as we kept on talking, what I realized was, yeah, I can be that way. Because everything I think I want that's out there is never going to satisfy me. And the line keeps moving. It just wasn't good enough. And that's because what's out there is no part of my solution. It's what goes on between God and me. And so to me, spiritual principles are just walking out these steps with a sponsor in fellowship, out of the book, one day at a time. Thanks.
Thank you, Amy. Looking for hands. Yeah, I'm loving what I'm hearing, man. I just, this kind of put me in the mind of, I've been beaten into a state of reasonableness by alcohol. I've been beaten into a state of reasonableness by trying to stay sober on my own without any help. Thank you very much. And it's miserable. I'm restless, irritable, discontent. I can't control my emotional nature. I'm prey to misery and depression. I'm irritable. I'm angry. And I just am so beaten that you guys tell me that God can and will if he were sought. And the first requirement is that I be convinced that any life run on my own will can hardly be a success. Any life, not just an alcoholic's. David running David's show can hardly be a success. That's a tough pill to swallow. And on the what got me thinking about this was on the bottom of 61, where it talks about our actor is self-centered, egocentric. I'm like the Florida businessman lolling in the sunshine, complaining of the sad state of the nation. The minister who sighs over the sins of the 20th century, politicians and reformers, the outlaw safecracker, the alcoholic who's lost all and is locked up. I have never been any of those things. I've never been a retired Florida businessman or a preacher, or I've never lost all and been locked up yet. But what do all those guys have in common? It's somebody else's fault. Somebody else has got to tighten up so that I can be okay. You know, the rest of the world's got to behave so that I can be okay. And that, the shameful thing for me to say is that's my default position. I just automatically wishing you'd be better so that I could be better, you know? And so we make this decision that hereafter in this drama of life that we're going to let God be God. God's going to be the director. I'm not running the show anymore. He's the principal. I'm the agent. He's the father. I'm the child. And if I take that position, remarkable things start to happen. And I love what's been shared, because I too think that Bill just used principles as a synonym for the step. He didn't want to say steps again, you know, tried to practice these principles in all these affairs, the principles that we just stuck numbers on and walked up to 1 through 11. So, but I do believe that step 10, 11, and 12 is the roadmap to do that. You know, steps 4 through 9, I work with my past. And I learned those skills of inventory, of restitution, of offering my defects, identifying, sharing, and offering to the proper authority the removal of my defects, and then go out and try to make that stuff right, and then continue on a daily basis to try to put that into play. And we're asking, what can I do for the man who is still sick today? Show me the way of patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love. I don't have that. What I have is everybody should do better so I can be okay. But I can get to God quickly and ask. And I just want to echo what was shared. I think being in less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions is absolutely a working definition for emotional sobriety. I don't think I need another book. I think I just need to do these things. Yeah. I was just talking, looking for hands. Come on, Jason.
Happy Tuesday. I'm Rick and I'm an alcoholic. Am I unmuted?
Yes.
You got the floor, big boy. Go.
Thanks. Happy Tuesday. I'm Rick and I'm an alcoholic. So I was a couple of years sober before I realized that I could actually drive my car with the window rolled up and no parts of my finger displaying part of my message out of the car. And so it just took a while to get that. And then it has continued down the line that, you know, I felt like I had to honk the horn at everything that seemed to happen in front of me, that maybe I was being a little bit of a Karen. And then I decided that, I got a little bit deeper into sobriety and my feet started following what my fingers did, what my eyes read on the page. I realized that I didn't have to say everything that came to my mind. So it's like instead of not using my horn all the time, I didn't have to speak about everything that came to my mind. And then I found myself a couple of weeks ago worrying about people leaving plates on the machines at the gym, and that too is none of my business, and it kind of robs my sobriety, my happiness. And it's just a question of learning, practicing every day by day, consistently, to just not worry about that stuff that wants to rob my sobriety, my serenity. Do I mean, I can perfectly go out in the yard and step in a landmine anytime I want to, but what's the consequences of doing that? And it just doesn't make me feel good, and usually I don't make the people around me feel good from doing that. But that's all I wanted to talk about, is that sobriety, that journey in sobriety that begins to tighten up my game, sometimes fast, sometimes slowly, but at least there's some perceivable progress along the way. That's just what I wanted to talk about. Thank you.
Thanks, Rick. Floor is open. For those of you just joining, the intended topic of the workshop was spiritual principles for a lifetime. Our speaker did not show. We have been talking about, you are invited to read or share on anything. All this gratitude is overwhelming me. Come on in, Debbie.
I'm an alcoholic. My name is Debbie. I am so excited. This is the best meeting ever. I'd much rather be doing this than a workshop. My opinion. I am happy to see so many people on Zoom because Zoom is my AA nowadays. And I love the topic of spiritual principles. It can definitely show me what I was like, what happened, and what I'm like now. Because I guarantee you, I did not bring spiritual principles to the first meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous that I came to. This was all taught to me through this book, through sponsorship, through watching women in the program and some men. That was one of the principles I had to learn pretty early on. I think that there are principles, you know, pretty much, I couldn't even define a principle, but I know that there are words that I had to look up because they had to do with emotions. I remember my first four step, they gave me a list of emotions because I wasn't sure what they were talking about. I knew happy and rage. And so all of this subtlety did not come easy to me, but I know that, I really, really love step six and seven nowadays. I don't know why I fight it so much because I'll get back to that in a minute. What really came to my mind when I thought about Sharon was in step nine, where it says, yes, there is a long period of reconstruction ahead. We must take the lead. Yeah. And then it talks about sensible, tactful, considerate, and humble. Even once I'm in step nine, I'm not real sure that's how I want to enter the picture, but I know that's what they're telling me I've got to do. And so when I get to 10 and 11 and 12, 10 is probably still my most underused step. I'm not a big inventory person, as those that know me know. I remember being at a conference and the speaker saying, you know, if the same person is showing up on your inventory over and over and over again, you might want to go a little further than steps four and five. And so that's what introduced me to six and seven. And am I really willing to change any of this behavior that I think are my protectors? You know, this is what's protecting me from you. And so then I get into step 11, which is absolutely my favorite step. I have spent the most time, well, no, probably step 12, I can say I've spent more time with sponsees and helping others than I have with step 11, although I don't know, because I do it every day and I've done it every day for a very long time. And one thing I did, I'll just share this in case anybody could use it. You know, I used to just read it 86 through 88 every day, every day, every day. And there's a lot of really good prayers in there. And so then I made it a prayer in my own words. And then I changed the what I consider negative qualities of a person that we're trying to get rid of and putting in a positive for that. So instead, so what I pray for is for compassion and for honesty and for love. And I'm lazy, so I took out a step 9 that I need to be patient and tolerant and loving and kind. And so I include that in my step 11. And again, I'm lazy, so I take page 164. How can I be useful to others? Please show me that. And so, again, I don't know why I fight so long that I think I need to fix people or that I need to be the caretaker of people. And what I know now is two of my favorite principles, and you can say they're not principles, it wouldn't hurt my feelings. I am in a position of neutrality and I am safe and protected. And I love, that is one thing. I do love the 10-step promises, not necessarily all the, I don't even know. It doesn't say to write it down. I don't think I'd have to read it again, but I do make amends when I feel it is necessary. And I talk to God about it all the time, but you know, it took me a long time and still today I can really pray a lot about what can I do to fix that person? What am I supposed to say to that person? How am I supposed to, you know, just let it go in a kind way? And what always comes to me is just live by example, Debbie. Do nothing. Be kind. Be loving. Be tolerant. I don't get any reward out of that, except I get neutrality. And if I give it enough time, I get freedom. Because I can tell you today, I am free from having to fix others. I am free from having to take care of others. And what a world, what a different world I live in today than when I first came around. I don't know if there was any newcomers. I didn't see any hands go up, but I hope that you always come back because it will change your life. Thanks.
Thank you, Debbie. Hey, I have a workshop idea for next time. Debbie, you could give us a personal guided tour of your meditation space. She had a whole addition put on her house. Okay, I'm exaggerating. I suspect Debbie wants to fix people out of compassion for them. I want to straighten people out so that I feel better. Okay, I'll just do a 5th step. Floor's open.
I think I can share, Dave.
Come on in.
Hi, my name is Daryl. I'm an alcoholic.
Daryl.
Really happy to be here with you all tonight. I think I have a little story about a little pause and pray from today, but I haven't really fleshed it out in my head. I'll try to get it out. I love what you guys have been sharing in regards to step 11 and being disciplined and the actions at the end of the day to see how my 10 steps been doing. And when I wake up to be calm and to be on the right footing before I enter the day, and then all the action that I get to take during the day and how imperfect I do it. That's been my experience, but there's been some just really lovely times throughout it. And there's been some little runs where, you know, like several months go by where I'm like, practicing, you know, I'm in the discipline and it's like I feel great, this is awesome, like not all the time, but like I love step 11 and it's changed my life, it's changed my sobriety, because I've had several sobrieties, you know, a couple of years in where I'm not in the channel, and so you know, my sponsor has said this to me before in context of this discipline, it was going so well, I stopped doing it, and I couldn't relate to anything more, right? I was just like, yeah, I do that. this is going really well, I feel great, I think I'm good, and I have no reason to stop doing it. And then I'll stop doing it for a little while, and it may be 2 days and it may be 2 weeks, and then lately in the last couple of weeks, I've been in a not doing it run, right? And there's been many nights where I'm just like mad. So, and I know I'm afraid, and I know I'm afraid of a specific thing, but I'm just like, no, I'm not writing about it. I know what it is. And I'll just say a quick prayer and go to bed, and I wake up terrified, right? And it's like, and I even have the experience of being free from it by taking the actions, right? And it's just like, it's just more of how I can play God, right? And so there's been a particularly, I've had this fear over this job that I just started. And I had jumped into it. I'm at the very beginning, and I rolled up to a client's house, and I like go look at their propane tank, and it's this little old lady, and I go, and I swear I smell gas leaking, but I wasn't sure because I'm not confident because I'm on like day three of this job. And I leave out of fear, and I don't do the job. I'm like, okay, I need to call my boss and get more information on this. I don't trust my intuition, yada, yada, yada. And so I leave out of fear, and I go home, and this is the thing that I'm not putting on the inventory before I go to bed. And I wake up this morning, and I'm just like terrified. And I know I have to go back there, and I don't trust myself. And so I went through the process this morning of sitting down and doing a meditation and prayer. And I sat with God for about 10 minutes and just was quiet. And it became clear that I just had to go to work and I had to go face these things. And I had to make it right. And so I go show up, and it's like an hour drive to get there. And I get in front of the house and I ring the doorbell. And just in the moment, I was just overwhelmed with, like, you know, drinking was never on the table today, at least as far as I could see. You know, I had no obsession to drink, which for a daily blackout drunk is an amazing thing. I'm just afraid to trust myself in this process of this new job. And so I show up and I ring the doorbell. And in that moment, all I could do was just pause and pray because I had no idea what was going to happen. And I just said, God, just please have my words and my acts and show me what I need to do to make this right and to take care of this person. And I just took over, and everything. I ended up calling the emergency hotline because, yeah, it smelled like gas was leaking. I followed their instructions. They had some very clear instructions for me, and I just followed them. And it turned out I had to call 911. And all this frantic activity, like, that's how I lived. Like, everything was a big deal. Everything's frantic. And I turn everything into a big deal. And I'm like, blah, you know? And I didn't want to be that for this old lady and scare her, you know? And I didn't want to turn a situation into something that it wasn't. And these were some of the things I was afraid of. And I just was able to be calm. And I just matter-of-factly did the things. And the fire chief came. And he took care of everything, you know, and he just asked me to walk him through it. And I walked him through it. And I just did exactly what everyone told me. So I don't know. And I left there unafraid, you know. And so, like, this is just another example of these principles working in my life, of a power greater than myself restoring me to sanity. Not having to pick up a drink just because I haven't had a drink for a while, and now I'm starting to get scared and I'm starting to get uncomfortable with life and I'm starting to turn everything into big deals. I don't know. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Daryl. Keith, come on in, brother.
Hey, thanks, David. My name's Keith Gillette. I'm an alcoholic. It's good to be out here. Good to be on this. And I do think, based on all of our history, I think God's pretty pleased that we're sitting around tonight trying to talk about it. Talk about God, when it wasn't too long ago that I was living absolutely contrary to what I'm trying to live today. I think that an old guy told me one time, he goes, in the world of the spirit, he goes, you know, sometimes my prayers are this. He goes, God, though I think I'm doing your will, doesn't necessarily mean that I am doing your will. But the fact that I try does, in fact, please you. And he cuts it off with an amen. And that kind of sums it all up. Is that I think that I am doing God's will doesn't necessarily mean, but I am trying. You know, and the whole premise of this program for me was is to get me unblocked so that I could have a relationship with God. And the things that I learned through going through all these steps about having moral and philosophical convictions galore, those are spiritual things. Having morals and values and virtues and wanting to treat other people with dignity and respect and kindness and loving and understanding and forgiving, you know, and those are great and those are wonderful ideas. But in the beginning, it says the needed power wasn't there. I had to find a power. And going through these steps gave me the access to that power so that I can start to live up to that. I don't always. I'd love to say, you know, from the moment I get done doing my prayer meditation in the morning and my feet hit the ground, it's just nothing but rainbows and puppy dog tails, you know, and unicorns and cupcakes and nonstop, you know, but it doesn't. Sometimes when I'm out there in the world, I have to ask myself, if would I act this way if I was standing at the podium in front of AA? You know, and you can call that a power greater than yourself, because so many of us identify with the group being a power greater than ourselves, you know. Or would I do this if my God were standing, you know, right here? You know, and sometimes I don't even think about it. I just do what I got to do, and then I got to go back and I make amends, you know, because that's what the steps teach me, is that I'm not going to be able to live up to these ideas all the time. None of us can claim anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. You know, the point is that, you know, that I do this program and it helps me progress spiritually. I am far better of a human being than when I arrived at your store. I am, just by virtue of going through these steps, that I am a better human being. I am unrecognizable to the people that knew me 39 years ago. Unrecognizable. And unrecognizable to when I hear people I knew 39, 40, 41 years ago tell me what I used to be like, and I couldn't even stomach acting like that today. It doesn't mean that I don't fall off. It doesn't mean that I don't break out into resentment, selfishness, dishonesty, and fear. That crops up. Those are natural, normal things. You know, but when they start to govern my life and a God of my understanding stops governing my life, that's when it becomes a really big problem. And I'll also say this, is that, you know, in our book, it talks about every day is a day where I must carry the vision of God's will into all of my activities. You know, and I must be doing all right, because and we agnostic told me that I have a condition which only a spiritual experience will conquer. Which only a spiritual experience will conquer. I'm not drinking today. I forget that all the time, is that I'm not drinking. A chronic alcoholic without a drink in his hand or on the way to getting one or praying at the bar, you know, at some party or a bar, praying that I could get sober one more time. You know, that doesn't occur in my life right now. You know, so it's not always a touchy-feely type thing for me. The fact is that I'm not drinking, nor am I in collision with taking a drink. Lets me know that God is in my life and he's working in my life. And it's a better understanding of today, of what that God is doing for me in my life. I've been sober this long, not because I'm a good guy, but because there is a grace, there is a God that exists. And it talked about that in We Agnostic, that first paragraph. I had to have had that or I wouldn't be drinking today. You know, I have a lot of people that practice these principles and all these in affairs with today. I got a wife, I got kids, I got employees, employers, I got just random people at the gym, that I interact with that most of the time they don't go at the end of my day, and me have to look at them and make amends. And sometimes I do. Sometimes I do. My brother is not an alcoholic and he has to go through the same thing, but I thank God that I have a program that I can come to people. I can go to people and I can ask them questions. I can bring this stuff up saying, hey, I don't think I'm acting very spiritual. And now I'm looking for their verification or their, approval. But a lot of times when it's out of my mouth, and I can see what a jackass I can act sometimes, it makes me feel uncomfortable. I can get back on board with this deal. So it's great to see everybody here tonight, and I appreciate y'all letting me share.
Thank you, brother.
Thanks.
We got time for another one. Come on, Travis.
Hi, everyone. My name is Travis. I'm an alcoholic. Thanks, everyone, for sharing. I was just kind of sitting here soaking all this in. When I was new, when I first got sober, there was an old timer that told me, if you read, I'm not a big 12 and 12 guy, but in the 12 and 12, it says, the 12 steps are a set of principles which, if followed and practiced as a way of life, can expel the obsession to drink and allow the sufferer to become happily and usefully whole. And what he said to me was, a principle is true under any and all circumstances. So, in other words, like gravity is a principle. He said, Travis, if you get up on top of this roof right now and you jump, you will fall 100% of the time. Doesn't matter what you think about it, doesn't matter how you feel, it will happen. He said, well, the steps are laid out exactly the same way. If you take them, you will change. No matter what you think about it, no matter how you feel about it, you don't even have to want to. When I got here, I didn't want to be sober, much less develop and cultivate a relationship with a power greater than myself. Much less take personal inventory and look at myself. The other thing I was thinking was I was looking at, in spiritual experience too, 568 at the very bottom, Herbert Spencer, the famous line, there's a principle which is a bar against all information, which is proof against all arguments, and which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance. That principle is contempt prior to investigation. And I was just sort of sitting here thinking about how much contempt prior to investigation I had when I got here. And why is that? Is it because I think I'm right all the time? Maybe. Is it because I think I have the best ideas or yours are shit? Excuse me, but like, I'm selfish and I'm self-centered. I'm driven by fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, self-pity. And I'm stepping on your toes the whole way through, and it's all about me. And even if it's not about me, I'm making it about me because I'm selfish. That's the problem. I have too much of me between me and you, and there's too much of me between me and God. That's it. That's all I think about is me. And then I'm told, Travis, you need a spiritual experience. You guys had to convince me of that one. I was not convinced of that. I thought I just needed a house, a car, a driver's license, a wife, I needed to get my birth certificate back. I did eventually get all those things, but it's not about the thing, It's not about getting it. Those things, because they never worked. I had to eliminate all those third alternatives until I was down to only two, and it was either die an alcoholic death or live on a spiritual basis. And living on a spiritual basis is not always the easiest way. It's really not. But I will tell you, it is the softer, easier way. If that makes any sense to anyone on this call, like I'm 100% convinced that my self-will, there's really two. It's self-will and God's will, right? And I wake up with self-will. I wake up and it's about me. It's about my day, my plans, my designs, my kids. This is going to happen and I got to recover from it already before it even happens, you know? I got three young kids and I'm the caretaker. I'm the one that gets them up in the morning. I get them to school. I get them to daycare. I work in front of these three giant monitors, like control screens, you know? And I'm just yelling at people all day, just typing, you know? They're not hearing what I'm saying because they can't, you know, I'm not. And then I'm getting them home from school, you know, I'm making dinner, you know, like I do all that stuff. And if I don't have some sort of level of serenity and peace, it's not good, you know, for me or for anyone. And I can't say, like, when I don't not like this all the time, I'm getting over it. I'm gonna stop in a minute, but I'm just sort of thinking about like how often I take for granted what it was like, you know, or what it is like now, like when I first got here. And I heard somebody say on the call, like how different they are from when they got here. And I'm not always the one to see that, you know, I think other people see it more than I do. But I just wanted to mention that, like, it doesn't have to be the way it is. If there's anyone new on this call, it doesn't have to be that way anymore. Just do the steps. Find a God. Thanks.
Thank you, Travis. Thank you, everybody, for sharing. It's turned out to be a fantastic little meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. I put some links in the chat. I believe I did. Yep. You can sign up for email on our website at simpleactions.net. We have PayPal links, Venmo links, Seven Traditions states. Let me share the QR codes, and then I'll read that little gizmo. Every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their intergroup, central office, local services, district area, and general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose to help the alcoholic who still suffers. Our common welfare, a word about safety. Our group endeavors to provide a safe meeting place for all attendees and encourages each person here to contribute to fostering a secure and welcoming environment in which our meeting can take place. Are there any announcements for the good of AA? What we got? We got stuff. We got the Oceanfront Conference coming up this weekend. We got fall or spring assembly. Fall assembly will be there too, but first we'll do the spring assembly. That's going to happen in Chesapeake. There's all kinds of stuff happening in Alcoholics Anonymous. How come I'm the only one talking about it? He asked himself in public. All right, fair enough. Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining our home group or in need of a sponsor, please hang out after the meeting. Home group members, please raise your hands. Literature is available online somewhere. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, I'll be available here after we close the meeting. Please feel free to talk to me. You can also email our group at simpleactinfo@simpleactions.net. So there's no meeting after the meeting. Let's see. Nick, would you read a vision for you for us if I put it on the screen?
Up to
Thank you.
Nick Alcoholic, a vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Thank you. Thank you all. Thanks everybody for just kind of rolling with it. So those are fun to do anyway, right? We're going to try again in September, but we're going to go ahead and do what we do. Our core competency is to meet over at the church on Monday nights. So, so thank you. Thank you all. And I'm not going to run out of here right after the meeting, but I would invite anyone who would like to feel free to unmute, and we'll close with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father.
Our Father,
art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name,
thy kingdom come,
come,
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Whoop, whoop. What a nice meeting. Excellent. That was wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you.
So glad you made it, Liz.
Yes, terrific. What a great.
Thank you.